The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are stress and toxins merely a factor of what we are putting in our bodies? What if a good deal of this can influence the state of our health? Welcome to Vibrant Life with Dr. Shanhong Liu. It's time to learn more about the chemical revolution, what it really means, and what you can do about it. Now, here is your host, Dr. Liu.
Hi, this is Dr. Shanhong Liu. I am a practicing internal medicine physician, and this is actually my first experience to host a internet radio talk show. And I want to welcome everyone to my show because at age 49, going to 50, I have really discovered a tremendous, tremendous roots of cause for health as well as diseases, the modern chronic disease epidemic. As I will go through the process with you, I just want to really take this moment to welcome everyone to be open at their heart and also to open widely with your eyes to see what is really going on in the modern society, in our health and well-being, our health and well-being as human beings, also every single member of the society, including animals. The reason I'm, as a internist, I'm teaching this philosophy about healing from within is because I myself has really struggled about 7 years ago at age 42. After finishing medical school in Beijing, growing up in two traditions of medicine, my Chinese grandmother was actually a Chinese traditional healer. She lived a great life. At age 86, she learned English. At age 96, she did not take one pharmaceutical drugs, did not have one organ removed. So I grew up in this culture of self-healing. On the other hand, my mother is a cardiologist. She's one of the top female cardiologists in China. And she is 86 years old now. She's still teaching. She's a clinical professor. She still sees patients at this, advanced age. Growing up in two cultures of medicine really helped me to see the power of Western medicine, but at the same time, to see the wisdom of self-healing. After coming to America 25 years ago, I decided to study human physiology to fully understand how the body works with each other. And I was very excited because I do feel if we dig down to the roots of things, we're going to discover why people are ill, why there are so many chronic modern life diseases emerging faster and more towards the younger people. Unfortunately, after getting my PhD, I jumped quickly into a fellowship training into genetics of hypertension. The reason I said unfortunately, because after 3 years doing research, I realized many, many of the modern life diseases are caused by multiple factors of reasons and causes were associated with them. Modern life issues are mostly 80 to 90% are caused or associated with chronic stress and environmental pollutions. And that is the main topic that I'm going to talk about in much detail in my 13 sessions from May 29 all the way until I finish. The reason I was leaving clinical research or basic science research is I realized human beings, as complicated as we are physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and energetic beings. We are way more complicated than a car. You know, a car is pretty complicated to me, but as human beings, we're quite complex. We also come from a different genetic background. We have, even though genetically we're similar, we are also raised under different circumstance, and environmental factors really play a role, a huge role in how we grow up and how we mature, how we reproduce, and how we age. Women, as the most, I would say, sensitive beings in all aspects of our body, emotional, mental, spiritual, energetic, and physical, we really go through a pretty dramatic, we call hormonal roller coasters. So go back to my personal discovery is at age 42, I was perimenopausal, and I didn't really realize how powerful perimenopausal could have done in my emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual health. At that time, I was working three different jobs, running between the hospital, nursing home, and my outpatient practice. I was also trying to really integrate what I learned in China from my grandmother, and also how, you know, Western medicine, pharmaceutical intervention and surgical interventions, trying to integrate all of them to help my patients. But at the same time, at age 42, under a tremendous amount of stress and demand from work, not to mention myself at age 42 was going through, you know, hormonal change, I was not feeling great. I had lots of interrupted sleep, severe palpitation in the morning. I had digestive issues. You know, I was 95 pounds, a bicyclist, eating organic food, but my muscle mass was getting thinner. I also had a lot of fatigue, hormonal chaos every month, we call PMS. And of course, acid reflux, irritable bowel syndromes. None of these symptoms really made me ill or having a significant diagnosis. But I know my body was not doing well. But initially, you know, as everyone else, I just reached for symptomatic pharmaceutical drugs, herbs, tinctures, trying to kind of deal with my daily discomfort. And one day I was packing up my little travel bag to go on a bicycle trip. And I realized I was basically taking 8 prescription pharmaceutical drugs for symptoms, including inhalers, antacids, allergy pills, and sprays. I was also trying a small dose of antidepressant to sleep. Of course, that was a disaster because I couldn't really tolerate. Nevertheless, I realized there's something deeply wrong or deeply not normal with me because I watched how my grandmother aged, and she aged very gracefully. Her and my mother and my grandmother really taught me the body can really have a great life even though we are way advanced in our age. But I was wondering what was really the difference, because living in Mount Shasta, California, where the water was the purest and it still continued to be the purest today. Our water is estimated to be 100 to 200 years old when it came out of the mountain. It's sweet and delicious. Mount Shasta also have fresh air most of the time. We do have a fire season. But why I was so challenged, environmentally, I was having allergies and to environmental factors and pines and grass. And also, why I was so stressed, you know, living in Mount Shasta, moving away from the big city. I thought I was really, I would be very bored, but, you know, I was not. I was very stressed too. And when I start looking deep into my presentation of the symptoms of diseases, I start to visualize a beautiful human tree, a beautiful tree of life. And at the roots, I started seeing two issues that are, you know, silently stealing the quality of life away from modern life people. I think the two factors are chronic stress, unrelented chronic stress, and environmental challenges. The environmental challenges are really coming from many, many things. Initially, I was looking at chemicals, pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, fire retardants, you know, chemicals we use. According to Breast Cancer Fund, the very beautiful environmental group of women who are really looking at what is the environmental cause of breast cancer. According to Breast Cancer Fund, 100,000 chemicals have been used in human. Basically, we directly use them, eat them, touch them, breathe them. Only 10% has ever been tested. So the chemical pollutions, you know, is really something that created a lot of abundance, wealth, created lots of convenience in modern life, living. But unfortunately, we really don't know what our body can do with those chemicals. Our bodies sometimes don't even know how to process these chemicals. And these chemicals oftentimes are called endocrine disruptors. Endocrine disruptors are something that is really influencing everyday's life from you know, getting pregnant, women getting pregnant, from the very early stage of fetal development into early childhood, puberty, reproductive age, and then moving into perimenopause and menopause. Is endocrine disruptors are very, very concerning. Especially, you know, we found most people have these endocrine disruptors. One of the biggest one is called BPA. So chemical pollutions are one of the things that I started to look at first, because I'm seeing so many people have autoimmune disease and female reproductive system cancer, ever increasing number of prostate cancer, right? So as soon as I start to open this can of worm, I start to study what are the heavy metals. And then that's like another can of worm I'm opening. On top of that, modern radiation, electromagnetic frequencies, which we all love. You know, I love my iPhone. I enjoy the Wi-Fi. I really, you know, embrace the advancements in human life. I do believe it improves the quality, the communication, and the connectiveness of information around the globe. So it's a really good thing. But behind it, how our cells, how our brain cells, the tight junctions in between the cells, how do we deal with the amount of electromagnetic frequencies? The type of energy that is usually, you know, used to be very low at the beginning of the Earth, or were in the early stage of human history, is now the question is the EMF, how much our body will be influenced, the bodily function will be influenced by the electromagnetic frequencies. Of course, the most recent development is really the understanding of GMO. Genetic modified organisms, genetic engineered food, or we call modified food. And again, initially I was being quite ignorant. I really didn't know what does GMO do. And more scientists and research scientists are looking into what does these organism too, to from insects to animals to people. Again, it is very concerning to me as well. So when you start looking at the two roots of this human tree, we start to question, what are we doing to our generation today and to our generation in the future? And as an internist, I, you know, really could not help to start looking at my health and how these environmental factors play in my health first. And as I start to look into my own health, I start to discover a tremendous truth about modern life living. That is, if we help our body to adjust nutritionally, energetically, spiritually to the ongoing stress and toxicity, we indeed can return to the forest where our ancestors lived a long, beautiful life without disease, disabilities, symptoms, and our body can function at maximal optimal level. And I'm going to go into more of the detail, and I'm going to dissect what stress do to our neuroendocrine immune system, and what are the toxins, how can we look at them and try to avoid them. Meanwhile, how our body naturally can detoxify the chemicals, heavy metals, naturally. And I do feel these two tools in nutritional strategies can help us live a vibrant life at any age. On top of that, we can help our animals, our children, and people all around us. And thank you at this point. Let's go to commercial. Have a brief break. Thank you.
What's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America show or host? For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
Vital, vibrant health is your natural, normal state. Your body is a powerful, self-correcting, self-healing miracle. When your body is assisted in eliminating the thousands of toxic influences, it controls stress and supports in reawakening its inherent capacity. That vital, vibrant life can be yours. To receive individual coaching from Dr. Liu or one of her carefully selected and trained associates, please email Dr. Liu at drliumd.com or visit the Mount Shasta Integrative Medicine website at drliumd.com. That's Dr. Liu at drliumd.com.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Vibrant Life, Restore the Roots of Health with Dr. Shanhong Liu. To join the program discussion today, please call us at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to Dr. Liu at drliumd.com. Now, back to Vibrant Life.
Yes, this is Dr. Liu. I'm back with my dissection. We'll think about, you know, looking at a specimen. We're going to look into what stress do and stress and toxin can lead to the human tree life decay. In the internal medicine practice, you know, I see definitely a group of diseases such as metabolic. We kind of group them as about metabolic challenges, including hypertension, diabetes, stroke, heart disease, peripheral vascular disease. People, they exercise but still gain weight, and especially the weight accumulating in the stomach area. The second group of disease I see in my practice is degenerative disease. Degenerative disease are often arthritis, hearing loss, vision loss, bone loss, muscle loss, and tremors, brain fog, you know, things, a hair falling out, things will say, well, you're just getting old, right? Memory not so great. Unfortunately, the degenerative disease group start to influence younger people. Mental illnesses have been one of the most concerning because really I'm seeing, as an internist, I'm seeing way too many young people suffering from depression, anxiety, bipolar, ADD, drug addiction, apathy, kids just don't care. Also, what I'm really, really concerned is the ever increase number of babies or young kids suffering from autism. Before vaccination was, invented, the autism rate is 1 out of 25,000, according to the most new recent CDC report. 1 out of 5,000 kids will suffer from autism today. So if you look at the trend of increasing of autistic children, what I am concerned is 20 to 30 years, kids without autism will most likely to be uncommon. So the mental illnesses are really very, very concerning because we all know when somebody's mind is not working, he's not going to be a productive part of the society. And the amount of economical, societal, impact within the family, in the community, in our society as a whole will be devastating to our future. 1.5 million Americans apply for mental disability per year. Again, when you look at the root of the tree and the leaves of the tree as mental illnesses being rotting away and not living vibrantly, you can see how devastating that is to our society, to families, to relationships, right? So again, we really cannot afford simply patch up the symptoms of these people because we found out people taking antidepressants, anti-anxieties, antipsychotics, many of them become permanently disabled. They're no longer useful or, effective and productive human beings. Many of them become disabled. The very fourth group of illnesses, I kind of put them together as immune system dysfunction or chaos. The first group of people I started seeing in Mount Shasta is people with autoimmune disease. Allergies, asthma are considered to be a red flag for dysfunctional, hyperactive immune system. And when I first came to Mount Shasta, I saw lots of people with lupus, with MS, with rheumatoid arthritis. And many of them are women after age 30. Children born with eczema and men with psoriasis, ankylosing spondylitis, which is a similar to rheumatoid arthritis influencing mostly male, started to appear in my office. And I was quite shocked because our community is very small and we are considered to be one of the pristine environment to live in. And I was wondering, myself had Hashimoto, allergy, and asthma. And I was wondering what is going on with our immune system. It seems like our body does not recognize the self, which I call the self-fighting disease epidemic. Now, self-fighting disease, emotionally, spiritually, physically, and energetically, we're struggling with the self, which is also something I want to elaborate in the next show. Among the immune dysfunction, we are also seeing the immune system seems to be incapable of fighting certain infections. The most, epidemic right now is actually Lyme disease. Lyme disease is becoming internationally epidemic. Chronic viruses such as shingles, herpes, HIV, hepatitis C, CMV, Epstein-Barr viruses, and it seems like our body somehow cannot survive all these attacks from pathogens. Very few of us asking why the host is becoming incapable of fighting these pathogens. Intracellular organisms are most notoriously problemsome because they are not only very hard to kill, they're also causing autoimmune pictures. So those people seem to have problem with the immune system fighting the right guy. And meanwhile, candida parasites and start to influencing our life, especially when women's going through hormonal changes, the increased acidity and decrease of alkaline state in human body due to our modern food. And of course, the immune system, again, are incapable of fighting. Vaccination has not really helped. There's lots of studies show in older people who receive flu vaccine did not really improve hospitalization, admission, or survival. So again, it is the host that is not doing the job due to aging, toxicity, and chemical pollutions, instead of just we're creating more pathogens in our life. The last immune dysfunction, the last result of immune dysfunction is really cancer. Cancer now is ranked number one killer among the medical illnesses in children between age 1 to 15. According to National Institute of Statistics, cancer is now number one killer in people younger than 85, already surpassing cardiovascular disease. According to American Cancer Society, one out of two men will face diagnosis of cancer in their lifetime, and one out of three women will face diagnosis of cancer in their lifetime. Among my medical education, as internists, we were, really educated about how to help people live with cancer or after cancer therapy. Because we know many of the modern therapies completely disrupt our nervous system and sometimes our immune system, and oftentimes immune system. And people survived cancer and end up living with other chronic diseases. So when I start looking at this tree of sickness, I start to understand how important it is to address the root cause of things. And I'm not, satisfied with reductions of symptoms at all. Actually, I do feel symptoms were discomfort from the body, even diagnosis and we receive from our doctors are really a way our body try to tell us something. Our body is internally intelligent. Our body has a way to show us what is really going on inside. But what we need to do, instead of jumping onto the symptoms and diagnosis and trying to cover it up, is to really dig deep into the root and say, wait a minute, what my body is trying to tell me. What is really going on with me? Am I being too stressed? Am I having 10 years of too many years of stress? Am I sleeping well? Am I living in a toxic environment? Perhaps my body is not able to detox because I'm eating the wrong food. Perhaps my hormones are not working and that's why I'm cold and I could not detoxify despite the fact I am eating healthy and exercising, right? What our body is trying to tell us when there's symptoms and diseases and diagnosis. And please do not satisfy with covering up the symptoms, because the body is very wise it will continue to tell you what's going on. If we ignore the first sign of avalanche, the mountain is going to roll down on us. We need to know, pay attention. And I spoke to Dr. Steve Hurd the other day. He's actually a vascular surgeon who is very interested in raising the awareness. He was talking about prescription for awareness. As soon as we have signs of discomfort or symptoms, or maybe we want to learn from others, is we need to look. We need to be aware what is going on at the root cause of symptoms and diseases. And that is the most exciting part of my practice in the past 7 years. I do feel when we pay attention to our body will start to heal tremendously. And it's a very empowering process. So today we have about 20 minutes left. I like to start with hormones. We talk about hormones and toxins are the main, you know, the stress and toxins, I'm sorry, stress and toxins are the main modern life disruptors of a healthy life. And the mechanism is really by influencing the neuroendocrine immune balance, digestive system health. The body start to have early signs of decline. When you nail down neuroendocrine, immune, and digestion, you can see why it is really important and how stress and toxins influence these systems and causing a cascade of problem. On top of stress, toxins causing diseases, I also say it steals stress and toxins in modern life also steal the quality of life from human beings and animals and every member of the society. Now, when I talk about quality of life, of course, different people have different idea what is a good life. For me, I think feeling healthy is number one important quality of life indicator. The second one is feeling peaceful and calm and have faith. I do think that's really good state of quality of life measurement. Number three is feeling in love. I do feel the emotion and the heart connection of love is really important. When somebody is in love, he or she can be in a wheelchair, but totally in the bliss. I do think feeling in love is very, very important. Number four is clarity. I have met many people live in the fog, and they don't have the clarity. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what's going on in their life. They're living in the fog. I do think that is very bad quality of life. And a good quality of life must involve mental clarity in every aspect of life. Unfortunately, stress and toxins influence the quality of life. And and, you know, to make it simple is, growth hormone, human growth hormone, determines the sense of well-being. That was actually a hormonal connection to emotion. Thyroid control not only metabolism, but also mental clarity. That little window in your brain, when you open it, the sky is blue and it's sharp. Images are sharp. That's actually determined by thyroid functions and how effective the mitochondria is working in your head. Number three is cortisol. You know, cortisol is something we really push our body to produce more in modern society. It helps us manage stress, but chronic elevation of cortisol can cause frizzled and frazzled feeling in our head. Number four is estrogen. Estrogen control the sense of love. Estrogen actually control the serotonin receptor activity and production. So estrogen is really important. Progesterone is a peacemaker. With progesterone, people can feel peaceful, calm, not only calm at the brain central nervous system level, but also in the peripheral level. You know, we talk about itchy, you know, some women going through perimenopause, losing progesterone, they become insomnic. They also start having itchy symptoms on their skin and nervous system. Testosterone controls self-esteem. Without self-esteem, the quality of life for many people are not good. You know, many of our behavior become more self-defensive, and that's influencing our quality of life as well. Testosterone also is important in protecting a man's heart, so we'll go into that more detail. And now we know stress and toxin cause diseases. Stress and toxin also steal the quality of life. And we're going to go down to where does the stress start to influence the human body at the neuroendocrine cascade. Let's go to commercial now. Have a brief break. Thank you.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Vital, vibrant health is your natural, normal state. Your body is a powerful, self-correcting, self-healing miracle. When your body is assisted in eliminating the thousands of toxic influences, it controls stress and supports in reawakening its inherent capacity. That vital, vibrant life can be yours. To receive individual coaching from Dr. Liu or one of her carefully selected and trained associates, please email Dr. Liu at drliumd.com or visit the Mount Shasta Integrative Medicine website at drliumd.com. That's Dr. Liu at drliumd.com.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Vibrant Life, Restore the Roots of Health with Dr. Shanhong Liu. To join the program discussion today, please call us at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to Dr. Liu at drliumd.com. Now, back to Vibrant Life.
This is Dr. Shanhong Liu. I'm back to go over what stress do to our human brain and our neuroendocrine system. As I always shared with audience, a patient of mine, she actually has three kids. She's a very busy mom. One day she was trying to drive the kids around and in a hurry, under stress, she left her key in the refrigerator. So as you can imagine, it is very hard for her to find the key because it was left in the refrigerator. And as you can all appreciate, stress, acute stress, definitely poisons our brain. And we sometimes wonder why human brain is so unadaptive to stress in a way. It really traces down to how we survived. And we will start with acute stress. You know, imagine yourself walking in the forest, try to gather your food as gatherers and hunters, and then you sense of the danger of an animal, of a wild animal, being a grizzly bear or a lion, you know, really kind of approaching you, and you have this sense of hair standing up on your neck, and you're ready to run, right? That is the survival instinct that ensured the human species survive the beginning of our development. You know, we are our society, right? It started with a survival instinct. Survival instinct pump up a lot of adrenal cortisol. So we can, the epinephrine to the adrenal gland will pump up lots of norepinephrine, and the cortisol. With these very stress-empowered chemicals, our body can jump and run, and we become incredibly powerful in survival, right? But unfortunately, in modern society, the human brain, especially a structure we call the hypothalamus, it's a very primitive part of the modern human brain, are very sensitive to stress. During chronic stress in modern society, the brain doesn't turn off. That is the fundamental problem or inherited fault, you know, the fault of our brain. And as you can see, sometimes we were watching this movie, we see the zebras eating grass, and we see the lion, you know, start chasing a group of zebra, and they all run, and the lion would catch a zebra and start eating the weak and old zebra. What happened to the other zebra? I always ask my audience, what happened to the other zebra, right? What happened to them is they actually stop running, they start eating their lunch, where their relative is being eaten alive, you know, by the lion. Now, what that tells us is zebra intuitively know how to turn off stress. But imagine human being, right? We probably can't turn off the stress because it was too traumatic. You know, we have so much compassion. We you know, the person being injured is our relative. So many of us developed post-traumatic stress disorder, right? And we can never, ever turn off the stress. So chronic stress, the definition is stress over 6 months, chronically. I also ask my audience, how many people have stress one day a week? You know, Monday or Wednesday. But many of them have stress from morning till night. By the time they go home, they, you know, they cook dinner. And what do? Is they turn on TV. And the TV is always negative news. You know, I'm really proposing for a new TV station. It's called the positive news all the time. No negative news at all. But at this present time, many people turn on the news and they get bad news. They get stressed and they are, you know, ready finally put the kids to bed, clean up and tidy up the house. They go to bed. They turn off the light. What happened to their brain? Their brain turns on. They start to reflect, you know, many things stressful during the day. Now, at the endocrine level, what happened to a chronic stressed brain is the hypothalamus constantly sends out an inhibitor we call the somatostatin. Somatostatin is, as it said, somato is body, statin is stop. The main function of somatostatin is to increase adrenal cortical production of corticosteroids. But the other function of somatostatin is to inhibit the other part of the pituitary function. Again, pituitary gland at here, to tell everyone, is a conductor of a hormonal symphony. In physiology, in human physiology, pituitary gland is the master gland of the whole neuroendocrine system, right? It's like the conductor of the symphony. In Chinese medicine, the pituitary gland is the house of wisdom. Can you imagine the conductor, the house of the wisdom, the master gland are chronically shut down? Or you can also imagine the pituitary gland as a car. If you're driving with a brake on with somatostatin due to stress and you're trying to accelerate at the same time, it's very hard to drive the car. The car will not go anywhere. So this is, I call, a silent epidemic of hypopituitarism, or we call dysfunctional pituitary gland. The master gland is at sleep. The master gland is slowed down. The master gland is very tired, right? As you can see, the main function of pituitary gland is to produce human growth hormone, thyroid stimulating hormone. You know, the ACTH is adrenal cortisone stimulating hormone. We are also have the FSH, LH that control the reproductive hormones down the stream. And pituitary gland has other hormones too. But meanwhile, you can see this master gland is not working. because we're constantly sensing the tiger or the lion on our neck. What happened? What is the consequence of a dysfunctional conductor of the symphony? You can see the hormonal symphony can no longer play beautifully with rhythms that's in alignment with nature, with summer, winter, with daytime and nighttime, right? Suddenly the natural rhythm of things, the natural rhythm of our hormones are no longer sing nicely together as a musical piece. We call the hormonal chaos due to the hypopituitarism, which is really, a modern life epidemic. Now, when we go into a few of the hormones, and I can't go through all of them, but I like to nail down upon several important hormones. One of them is called human growth hormone. Human growth hormone, how many people have heard of it, right? I used to believe human growth hormone is something we only need before age 16. I believed human growth hormone is only for growing, right? Because it is really misunderstood because of the name. Scientists have discovered human growth hormone reaches its peak at age 16 during puberty and then start to take a decline after age 16. But little do we know, the declining after age 25 determines the quality and quantity of life, right? So human growth hormone should be really called a restoring, repairing, and healing hormone. Without human growth hormone, the quality of life will be poor and the quantity of life will be short. Again, I am talking about optimal physiological level of human growth hormone. I'm not talking about overdosing. And hormones are something I learned to respect. Too much, too little, no good. But optimal level that in rhythm with our life is absolutely incredibly powerful in maintaining the vibrant life, in maintaining the juice of life. So when we go back to human growth hormone, is one thing you can remember is every single cell in the human body has human growth hormone receptors. That's what we discovered. We also discovered even in very, very advanced age, people still produce and release human growth hormone for a very fundamental reason. Human growth hormone at the optimal level is very important. It's essential in maintaining organ sizes and functions. So these are very important things to remember. Sizes matter. Functions, absolutely critical, right? So I want to go through a few organs so we can talk about why sizes matter. The first organ I want to talk about is the brain. The neurons, the brain, the human brain are full of human growth hormone receptors. Unfortunately, after age 30, when human growth hormone take a major decline in life, especially in modern America with stress, head injuries and sleeping issues, right? We don't produce, we don't release as much human growth hormone. We notice, we pay attention to when the brain start to shrink. It really started to shrink at age 30. I was quite shocked when I learned that fact. By the time we are age 40 to 50, significant age-related atrophy can be visualized on CAT scan of the brain, which is also interesting because imagine if your brain start to shrink between age 40 and 50, in modern America, is considered normal. Now, what happened when we're 80 years old, right? With all the modern intervention of hip replacement, knee replacement, kidney transplant, liver transplant, heart transplant, we have all kinds of technologies to make us look really young, our hair growing technique. What happened to the brain? what happened to the brain? Are we going to have a brain transplant as well? I always ask my audience, what do you think about our brain? The brain suffers from significant shrinking. When the brain is shrinking, the symptoms can be very different. Some people can be memory loss. You know, Alzheimer's disease is number one 21st century disaster. According to American Alzheimer's Society estimation, is the amount of Alzheimer's patients that are emerging into our life, you know, it will be very difficult to have enough people to take care of them. Actually, the economic resource in the future is seriously in question for people to take care of Alzheimer's patients, right? Not only it's devastating to patients and family, they also discovered when people who take care of Alzheimer's patients have much higher incidence of Alzheimer's disease themselves. So human brain shrinking need to be addressed and need to be prevented, you know, as soon, as early as possible. And I do feel that is absolutely one important thing we need to teach and educate our public. The second organ that shrinks with human growth hormone decline is the thymus gland. You know, as I have ignored the thymus gland for a long time, the Chinese medicine always, medicinal practitioners always teach us how to tap the sternum. The sternum is the bone on your chest. The thymus gland is right behind the sternum. Unfortunately, thymus gland start to shrink between age 20 to 25. By the time we're 30 years old, most people, we cannot even see the thymus gland on CAT scan. The important take-home message is this. Thymus gland is one of the most critical immune system, right? Now, the immune system not only control how fast we fight a disease, it also control how fast we can recover from the fighting. Autoimmune disease is really a problem of we cannot calm down our immune system. So suddenly we are having an immune dysfunction because we cannot mount a reaction or fight against invaders. At the same time, we started having a slow recovery. Our body's immune system is constantly into this chronic heightened immunity against ourselves. So as you can all appreciate, the thymus gland decline with human growth hormone and human growth hormone decline with stress, toxicity, lack of sleep, and aging. And thank you for listening to today's show. And I would love to meet you again in my next session on discovery of human growth hormone on our digestive system. Thank you so much. This is Dr. Liu. Please visit my website at www.drluamd.com and send me an email at drlu@drlumd.com. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for tuning in to Vibrant Life. Please join Dr. Shanhong Liu again next Wednesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. in the West on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Together, by becoming aware of all of the factors, we will bring better health into your life. Vital Vibrant Health is your natural normal state. Your body is a powerful, self-correcting, self-healing miracle. When your body is assisted in eliminating the thousands of toxic influences, it controls stress and supports in reawakening its inherent capacity. That vital, vibrant life can be yours. To receive individual coaching from Dr. Liu or one of her carefully selected and trained associates, please email Dr. Liu at drluemd.com or visit the Mount Shasta Integrative Medicine website at drlumd.com. That's Dr. Liu at drlumd.com.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.